Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist years as your chief encourager and host of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes if you have enjoyed listening to this podcast so far. And check out switchpivotorquit.com for even more personal and professional development resources. But for now, just sit back, open your mind, and enjoy the show. On today's show, we are chatting with fellow podcaster Kylie Carr. She is the host of Beyond the Business Suit, and you definitely want to pop over to her show, also available on iTunes, because you can check out the interview that her and I did for her show as well. Kylie is also the CEO of the Asbury Group, an organization specializing in leadership development as well as executive image presence and branding. Having spent over 15 years working for and with some of the world's most recognizable companies and brands, she now advises the executives behind such brands, propelling them toward greater impact and influence. Kylie holds an MBA from Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University and a BA from Emory University. When she's not coaching clients or speaking at conferences and corporations, Kylie can be, just as I said, found hosting her podcast, Beyond the Business Suit, where she's interviewed powerful women in business, best-selling authors, and industry experts. Kylie's advice to executive and executive-bound women has been featured in numerous publications, including Forbes, Fortune, and Monster.com, just to name a few. You don't want to miss this conversation because we also have a very special treat for you at the end by one of our SPQ VIPs. And if you are wondering how to be an SPQ VIP, just keep listening. I tell you all about it. Okay, so we have a treat for you today. First, I want to go ahead and welcome our special guest to the show, Kylie Carr. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited because you guys don't know this, but we're going to do something a little bit different. So first, we're going to have our normal switch, pivot, or quit chat with Kylie. Then we are going to welcome in one of our SPQ VIPs. And she is going to have an opportunity to ask Kylie a couple questions. Her name is Charmaine, and she is awesomeness, and you'll meet her in a bit. And if you're wondering, how did Charmaine get this opportunity? How is she an SPQ VIP? It is fairly simple. All you have to do is actually text this phone number and you can become an SPQ VIP. Simply text area code 310-620-1514 and just add the plus one if you are international and not in the States. Alrighty, so let's hop into our conversation with Kylie. Kylie, as you know, we talk all about the Switch, Pivot, or Quit process here on the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. So I want you to share a little bit about your SPQ with us and sort of what your background is.
Sure. So I have made a switch, a pivot, and quit. In my career, just some high-level overview on my background. I spent over 15 years in corporate America, left in 2013, and started my own business and really started my practice because I realized there were so many things that helped and hindered women from advancing in their career that weren't talked about in performance reviews or in the classroom. And I wanted to create my business to serve the women who needed guidance in this area. But I'll get to that. So let me start with my quit. Mm-hmm. So I made my quit back in 2008, mm. for the first time. So I left a job where I was getting paid well, doing interesting work, but it really wasn't in my passion area. And Barack Obama was just elected, and my best friend and I had been talking about creating something for Black women, professional Black women, something media related. And we felt like, you know what, this is a moment, this is a time to do it. So I left my job, moved from Dallas, where I was living, to New York, where my now husband, then boyfriend lived. And it was a couple of hours away from my best friend. And we spent the next 8 months figuring out what we wanted to do. Now, that's not really a good strategy as a hindsight. We probably should have figured that out before I left my job.
Right.
So about 8 months in, we had created some web series. We created a digital magazine, but the savings was running dry really quickly, and I went back into corporate America until 2013. So, so that was my quit. My switch was, as I mentioned, in 2013. And what I didn't mention is that I was working in a job. I was leading a marketing department. And unfortunately, it was a situation where a lot of life things were happening. I was planning my wedding. My mom, unfortunately, was ill and was dying of cancer. And I was leading this marketing department with a team all across the country. And honestly, my heart wasn't in it, because my focus was on my family and my life events. Mm-hmm. So in a conversation with my boss, we were talking about, you know, how I can manage all of these things. And she said, actually, we have a new CEO and he wants to move you to Philadelphia from Chicago, where I was living, and you and your team. We want to have all of our major functions in Philadelphia. We know what's going on with your mom. We'll wait till she gets better. Now, if you don't want to move, that's a different conversation, right? But we want to move you. And in that moment, I realized there was no way. I had not in me that I was not interested even in the least to move. And come to find out, I ended up leaving. My last day was a Friday, and the next Monday, my mom passed away. Mm. And oh, by the way, my husband had been planning on leaving his job, so he left 2 days after my mom passed away. So within a week, everything changed. Mm-hmm. So I was able to take that time to figure out what it was that I wanted to do with my career next, and honestly didn't even think about going back into corporate, even though had a great corporate career, was really successful and all that great stuff. But as I mentioned earlier, I really wanted to spend this phase of my career to help women in their careers. And then finally, my pivot is something that I'm kind of right now going through a little bit. So when I first started my practice, I was focused on image consulting and personal branding consulting and some speaking engagements, and focused on one-on-one clients a lot. And now I'm to the point where I still have some one-on-one clients, and I love them. I love working with them. I learn so much from them. But I'm seeing a lot of growth with working with groups of women and groups of corporate women. So I'm seeing my business pivoting toward more corporate relationships and creating experiences for women leaders, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I'm feeling a big pull to see more Black women in senior leadership, particularly in the C-suite, whether it's in corporate America or starting their own ventures and being equipped to do so. Mm-hmm. So that's a long answer to your question, but
I love it though. But you know, you touched on a couple of things, but one of the things that I want to circle back to is just being in a space of figuring out what sort of your next moves will look like. What was that experience like for you, and what did you find yourself sort of doing to help you get on the other side of figuring out what that next step was going to actually be?
Right. Yeah. So I am a person who is pretty intuitive. Mm-hmm. So when I think about things like this and think about big moves and I'm making big moves, there's the head and then there's the gut. Mm. So I lean towards and really hone in and listen to what my intuition is telling me. And I do believe that we all have the answers and that our intuition or inner guide or really honestly God, the God within us, mm-hmm. is what can lead us to the next steps. At the same time, there's also the head too. I'm still an analytical person to a certain extent. So I do like to plan. I do like to think about, what makes sense. So for instance, when I left corporate and I was trying to figure out what type of business I was going to create, I went through an exercise of understanding what am I really good at? Mm-hmm. What are my true talents and skills and gifts? What do people come to me for? So there was that analysis and planning portion of that approach. But then also I had to listen to what my gut was telling me, what my intuition was telling me in terms of there were many ways that I could have gone, but where was I being led and really getting quiet and still to be able to clearly hear what my intuition was telling me.
Mm-hmm. I love that. What do you think would have been useful to have known before embarking on the current space that you're in right now with your career?
I think one thing that would have been useful for me to know or really think about more clearly is when you have a business, it's a business. It's not a hobby. You need to make money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, and not to say that, I created a business that I wasn't making money or didn't want to make money. However, it was valuable for me to go through exercises for me to understand where the most growth potential was going to be and revenue potential. Mm-hmm. And make sure also that aligned with what I personally wanted to do. And going back to what I was talking about earlier, like what my intuition was telling me to do. So there could have been a huge growth a lot of revenue potential in one area, but if I wasn't excited or passionate about doing it, it couldn't be sustainable.
Right, right. Yeah.
That's one thing that I wish I would have paid more attention to earlier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So did you have any fears before making any of your switch, pivots, or quits? And in general, maybe share with us how you approach fear or sort of like what role you allow fear to play in your life.
Fear is real. Fear is there. I have experienced fear. I still experience fear. Mm-hmm. The way I see it, fear is always going to be there. I've talked to enough successful women particularly to know that we probably won't get to a point where we're not feeling fear. It's just mm-hmm. a matter of doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And being courageous enough to take the risks, take the leaps, do what may feel uncomfortable, but you know that it's the right thing to do and it's the best thing for you long term. So I try to lean into the fear and also call myself out on when I'm not doing something because of fear. And right. That's an ongoing struggle. Mm-hmm. It is an ongoing struggle.
Right. So there's a lot of women that you work with in terms of their branding and their image and the role that sort of plays in the corporate space and in how you present and show up as a professional, whether it be corporate or entrepreneurial. So I want you to just talk to us a bit about sort of what was the draw for you in feeling like there was a need to marry these things together in helping women in this way. And what does that sort of look like in your business?
Sure. So one of the reasons why I got into this work was because there were so many women who I would come across who were really good at what they did. They were smart and had a ton of credentials, but when it came down to showing up, they weren't showing up as their best selves. So, and as a result, they weren't growing, their careers weren't growing as quickly as other people around them, and they didn't understand why. Mm. And what was happening was they were focusing on, you know, well, let me do a good job and let me get these degrees and these certifications, but not thinking about their, you know, executive presence, as people call it. You know, how were they showing up as a leader? Could people see them in a leadership position even before they were there? Or maybe, you know, as they were gaining the experience, could they make it to that next level or two or three levels beyond that? And I was finding that I could look at someone and observe them, and not only just, you know, look at them in their appearance, but observe them and see what they were bringing to the table, but also notice when they weren't showing up with a strong presence, why that was holding them back. Whereas they would think, you know, oh, my boss must not like me. This company is against me. And they weren't seeing how their presence was impacting their progress.
That's very interesting, because you hear a lot of people with that sort of type of complaint, like, oh, so-and-so doesn't like me or this or that, but maybe we aren't taking the time to really figure out how we show up and how that plays a role. So if you were talking to someone, or maybe you can share with us one of the common solutions or one of the biggest problems or problem areas that you see for women, because when I think of styling and getting people ready, obviously I think of the outward appearance, but are there other things that we should be considering when we're trying to show up as someone that seems to be capable of a leadership position?
Yes, absolutely. So when I think about presence, I have a program called Power Presence, and we focus on five different things. We focus on their understanding what their personal power is. So we are, you know, there are over 7 billion people in this world. There is no one else in this world who has the same experiences and talents and gifts and skills that you have. So I help my clients understand what it is that is theirs to offer to the world that's different than anyone else, to help them to dial that up. So that's one thing. Also understanding what their personal brand is. So how do they want to show up in the world? How do they want people to describe them? What do they want to stand for in the minds of others? Also, confidence. Confidence is a huge piece. Mm-hmm. And like I was just mentioning, many women in particular focus on getting the skills and the experience instead, and because they feel like, oh, I will be more confident when I have more skills. Well, it's actually the confidence that will give people the trust that you have the skills and that you can produce the quality work and that you can show up. So confidence is extremely important. Mm-hmm. And we talk about communication. So that is verbal. So what you say, how you say it. So verbal and vocal, visual, which will talk about a little bit more in a bit, as well as behavioral. So how is your body language? How are you physically showing up in the world? How do you take up space? And how does that impact how others perceive you? And then finally, your appearance. So, and when I talk about appearance in this day and age, that means how you show up in person, but also how you show up online. We get 7 seconds to make a first impression in person. 200 milliseconds to show someone whether or not you're trustworthy and competent, which are really important leadership indicators. And then online, you only get 40 milliseconds. That's it. 40 milliseconds to make a first impression. So when somebody goes to our LinkedIn profile, they've already sized us up. If a recruiter, for instance, is looking for someone for a position, they go to your LinkedIn profile, you may or may not be considered for the job based upon what's saying.
Right. So do you have any tips for maybe how people can improve their digital presence, namely something like their LinkedIn?
Sure. So on LinkedIn, there are a few areas that are really important to focus on. Number one is your profile photo. So you should have one. So not having a profile photo is not an option.
Right.
unless I have had one client whose option was like a 16-year-old photo. And it was clear that it was 16 years old. So in that case, maybe no photo until you get a new headshot. But you want people to see who you are. And over 70% of people search for someone online, typically on LinkedIn or Google, before they meet them for the first time professionally. So you want to make sure that you can at least let somebody pick you out of a coffee shop if they're meeting you there, right?
Right.
The summary section is one that many people overlook. This is your opportunity to explain who you are, share your point of view, and give people an overview of who you are and what you're about. One way that I've seen this work really well, I have a friend who started her career in TV production. So she spent over 10 years in TV production and then made a pivot to working in marketing. So she was working in digital marketing. So someone can look at her LinkedIn profile and look at her experience and say, okay, she was working in television production and now she's working in digital marketing. That doesn't make sense. So she used her summary section as an opportunity to say, I worked for my first 10 years in television with some of the greatest storytellers and interviewers like Oprah Winfrey and Diane Sawyer and Barbara Walters. Now I help brands tell their stories using the most powerful platforms out there. So she connected the dots. So the summary section could be a bio, but it also could be a point of view or a personal statement in the first person to explain some of your background to someone who is coming to your LinkedIn profile page. With the experience, you want to make sure that you keep the experience updated. It doesn't have to be a one-to-one match to your resume, but it should show some of your accomplishments and give people at least a high-level overview of the work that you do. And so in the endorsements and skills section, there is, so many people think that, I can only list the skills where I have received endorsements. And we've all seen, do you endorse this person for these skills?
Right.
Will appear in our LinkedIn profile page. Well, you can also select which skills you want to be listed there. So for instance, if you are making a career switch, maybe, no one knows that you are an amazing personal branding strategist because you've been working in, IT for the past 6 years. So you can actually add those skills to your LinkedIn profile, even if no one has endorsed you.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Very good tips. Very good tips. I hope you guys are taking notes. So as ambitious people, there's probably someone listening right now who's thinking, I need to step it up. I'm not doing enough. And that might be true. It might not be true. But have you had a time in your life where you felt like, I need to step it up? And if so, what did you then do? Like, what was your course of action when you felt that way?
Sure. There have been two times in my career where I feel like I've felt that a lot. Mm-hmm. One was early in my career. So like my first real job after college, I was working in human resources and really ended up being the number two person in this human resources department at like 23 years old. Mm-hmm. And I knew that the person who had previously held my job, he was in his 40s. So I needed to make sure that I was going to be taken seriously, especially since I was working at a company in South Carolina. I was a young Black girl coming to a predominantly white environment. predominantly white Southern environment. And I knew there were not a lot of people who looked like me. So I needed to make sure that I could gain as much respect as possible. So right. I made some very, looking back on it, very strategic decisions in terms of how I dressed and how I handled myself and carried myself so that people wouldn't look at me and say, oh, that's that young girl. You know, I wanted to make sure that I would be taken seriously and that I was coming across more mature than my age, or than I looked. Mm-hmm. So that was one time. Secondly, when I went out on my own, and in the beginning, you know, as a solopreneur, quote unquote, solopreneur, mm-hmm. it's easy to get in that mode of, okay, I'm an entrepreneur, let me hustle, let me grind, and it's just me, and I'm working wherever. So there's a sense of, there's a casual, like, vibe that I was feeling. Mm-hmm. And I had to change my mindset to think like a CEO. Mm. I knew that the only way that I was going to have a lucrative business, that I could serve really high level clients and create partnerships with high level companies, is if I approached this company as a company that I was leading as a CEO, and not, this is my startup.
Right. I like that too, because there's a lot of people that want to be entrepreneurs right now, and no shade, but I think that a lot of times what happens is the fun part of it, the creative side of it, those types of things end up being more appealing, but the business hat and understanding, like a lot of us have worked in corporate and a lot are still working in corporate. And when you understand what, and you see what it really takes to run the behind the scenes of a business, you as a solopreneur, let's say, you have to be all those things. And that's some of the I think hang up that a lot of people have, is they don't want to be all those things. You know, they just want to be the creator. And that can be a tricky place to be in. So if someone is sort of thinking about entrepreneurship and teetering in that space right now, do you have any just general advice that you would give them?
One thing that I would say is that you cannot do it alone. A couple of things. So yes, you cannot do it alone, and that can be translated to many different things. One, it is really important, at least I found that it's been really important for me to have accountability partners. So people who are also entrepreneurs, who may not be in the same space that I'm in, but they are facing a lot of the same challenges.
Right.
And they may be running their businesses majority like on their own too, or maybe they have a small team or a few virtual assistants or editors or what have you, but they don't have somebody to bounce ideas off of on a day-to-day basis. So I have, I have one accountability partner that I was working. I've actually had three over the course of the last 4 years. And, one, we would meet every week. Actually, two, we would meet every week. And I have one that's been the longest running, and we meet every other week. Mm. And that's been critical. And then secondly, it's getting your team, like your time is your most valuable asset. And when you first get started, you may not have the money to pay people and you have the time. So that's fine. You can devote the time, but at some point in time, you need to scale the business. And that means you need to pay people to give you your time back so that you can do the things that only you can do. And the earlier you can do that, the better. For instance, I have a podcast. I've had it for 3.5 years. I've been doing the editing myself up until 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
No way. I do not have the bandwidth to do it. I learned. I was efficient. It was good. But now I'm like, okay, I need to pay somebody to give me that time back.
That makes sense. So if someone's in the corporate world still, and not still, but if someone's in the corporate world, let's say, because I never want to make people feel like this entrepreneurial space or freelancer space is the goal, and it's goals, and it's where you should be, because it's not for everyone. And I think there's certain characteristics that you should have. So if someone is in the corporate space and maybe they're having a challenging time with a manager or something of that nature, what would you say to that person in terms of how they can sort of try and navigate, what they can do on their end to try and navigate that space to come out on top and be the most successful that they can be in that space?
So, and you're saying that their challenge is they have a challenging manager?
Right.
So with that, one thing to keep in mind is that most of us will have a challenging manager. We're working with human beings and, you know, people are complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, yes, people... whether they're complicated, whether at work or home, and you know, we get a slice of them, and chances are you will have people that you work with who are challenging.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest piece of advice that I would give is try not to take things personally and try your best to respond and instead of react to things. And also try your hardest to see the other person's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
To think that somebody is against you, or that you, you know, if somebody says something that you don't like or criticize something, you know, we look at it through our lens. But for instance, if somebody said, well, you did that incorrectly, you need to do it this way. And we may think, well, this is the way I do it, or I'm learning, you know, think about it from their perspective. What pressures do they have? Who are they serving? Oftentimes our bosses are answering to their bosses. Mm-hmm. So we may only have a small slice of understanding of what pressure they're under. And I would also try my hardest to find points of connection with that person. So even if it's a difficult manager, I would try my best to try to connect with them as a person, because again, we're human beings, we're people. It's sometimes, especially for people who consider themselves introverts, having things like small talk are, you know, seem real trite and seem surface, but sometimes when we don't know anything else, any other points of connection with somebody, we need to start with a small talk. And then that can evolve to learning more about who, you know, what that person likes. And if we can engage with them as a person, then sometimes that relationship will help foster better communication between us so that, you know, even if there is a challenge, you already have that rapport, and it's not that person against me or me against them. Is okay, let's try to find some common ground, because you know what, I understand a bit of who you are as a person, and I really want to try to find some common ground here.
Right. And I think it's harder for people to be rude and nasty when they feel like they've gotten to know you a little bit better as a person. So you might have to eat a little bit of humble pie to get there and develop that relationship, but it might be worth it in the long run for sure. So for you, when you think about like all the things that you've done, what does success mean for you? Or what does it look like for you?
Success for me is about fulfillment and using my gifts to make this world a better place in big and small ways. That's what success means for me. It's not about the money or the notoriety or how many clients and all of that stuff. That's fine. But I feel like for me, if I'm using my gifts and serving people in a great way, that will give me fulfillment. And if I'm helping to serve and make them better people, then ultimately this world will be a little bit better for the work that I do. And that feels like success to me.
I love that. Have you found yourself in a position where you've hired any type of coaches or anything like that since you've been out on your own and working on your own. And I ask that because I want people to have a full understanding of how people's journeys develop. Some people work with coaches, some people don't. So I want to find out what your experience with that has been like.
Yes. So I have hired a business coach before. Mm-hmm. At a point in time when I felt like I wasn't gaining as much momentum. I felt pretty stagnant.
And okay.
I needed to have a breakthrough. Mm. And working with the business coach, even going through the exercise of investing in myself in that way was really valuable.
Mm-hmm.
I also have the benefit and the blessing of having a lot of friends who are coaches in certain ways. So those accountability my accountability partners and my relationships that I have with people who are on a similar path, those end up being coaching sessions, and it's a give and take.
Yeah.
They're coaching me. So even though it's not a money to money exchange, they're certainly exchanging in ideas and advice.
Right. That's so valuable for sure. Good tip. So if you guys are thinking of going the entrepreneurial route, get you some friends who can coach you. That's a good idea. And you've also gone a really courageous route, I would say, with living in like multiple different cities. I think I've heard you mention Chicago, New York. I know you're based in Atlanta now. How have you found the experience of moving from city to city? And do you have any advice for someone who's playing with the idea of maybe moving for a career or for any other reason, career, love, or what have you? Because a lot of people are intimidated by making a move, especially if they would be moving from somewhere that they were born and raised and that's, you know, their comfort zone. What has your experience been like with making moves and living in all these different cities?
Sure. So making moves and being kind of a nomad is a part of who I am.
Okay.
Growing up, my mom was in corporate America. She would get promoted and relocated every 2 to 3 years. So,
wow.
Yeah. So by the time I went to college, I mean, I was born in New Jersey, moved to upstate New York, back to New Jersey, lived in the DC area, moved to Colorado. And then moved to the Chicago area when I was in eighth grade, and I stayed there until I graduated high school.
Okay.
And because of that, I think that I have one of my superpowers is the ability to adapt to mm-hmm. different environments, because that was my coping mechanism. That was my survival mechanism in especially as a child and moving to different schools and having to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that is easy for me to do and comfortable for me to do. And because of that, I never shied away from making a move if I wanted to. If there was a new opportunity, or I worked in management consulting. And working in management consulting, I for almost 5 years, I didn't have any, I was based out of Atlanta, but didn't have any clients in Atlanta. So 4 to 5 days a week, I'd be traveling to a different city. And that was exciting to me. Mm. So in terms of, you know, what advice I would give people, especially for those of you who have lived at the same place all your life, I would encourage you to explore, because we can't believe what we don't see. So being in different environments, seeing how different people in a different geography live, experiencing that, I think sometimes just helps us to grow better. Mm-hmm. It also helps us to understand what we really like and don't like. If we're only exposed to a certain set of things, we may not know what we really like and don't like until we see some contrast.
Right.
So I would strongly encourage you to get out of your comfort zone and also look for ways to connect with people. So whether it's through, let's say, your college alumni association. Like that's one way that I've met people, or professional organizations, getting connected with people in who are, you know, in your industry, or if you have a hobby, you know, looking at ways to connect with people that you would not ordinarily meet with are good. And even churches is a great way to do that too. Those are some of the things I found have been a good way to create communities and build my network in a new city coming in for the first time.
I love that. I love that. So we are going to now turn this over to the section where we invite Charmaine in to ask you a couple questions. And Charmaine, like I mentioned before, she is an SBQ VIP. And once again, all you have to do to be an SBQ VIP is text the phone number +1. That's if you're international, area code 310-620-1514. And Charmaine is somebody who has been around the Switch, Pivot, or Quit community for a while now. So when I put the offer out to the SPQ VIPs to be able to ask the question or a couple questions of Kylie, she was the one who was awarded the opportunity. And she is someone who is always growing and learning. And that's one thing that I can't stress enough to everyone. It's not enough to just gather a bit of information and then move with it and think, oh, I've got it all figured out. Charmaine is an educator, yet she's still always learning more. She's still always taking classes and courses and participating in spaces where she can improve and better herself. So I absolutely commend her for that. I'm obviously saying this, but she's not on the phone with us yet, or she's not on the line with us yet, but she'll probably listen back to this. And I'm just so proud of her. So I just want to make that clear before she gets on, because she's one of those people who always pushes herself outside of her comfort zone. So I'm excited for you to get a chance to speak with her, Kylie, and we're going to bring her on now.
Great. I can't wait.
Okay, so we are now welcoming Charmaine Freeman to the show. Charmaine, how's it going? Introduce yourself to everyone.
It's going great. I'm Charmaine Freeman Green, and I currently run Charmaine and Edwina Photography along with being a teacher to high school students. So I'm trying to figure out whether I should be switch pivoting or quitting right now. So love the podcast and appreciate everything you do with it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. So now we're going to jump in to your questions for Kylie, because you had a couple things that you felt like you needed to have answers to. So let's go ahead and jump in there.
Okay. So my first question is, what are the three key things to consider when you're defining your personal style?
Wait, well, I have a question for you, Charmaine. Are you talking about your personal style in general, or specifically when, like, in work or play or both?
More of the workspace, because I'm thinking about this transition from out of the classroom, because classroom, everybody has what they think a teacher should wear or how they think a teacher should look. So that's where my mind has been for the last 13 years. And now trying to transition, it's like, I don't even know what my personal style really is, because I've been in that teacher, quote unquote, style for so long, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. So the first thing that I would say is to set your intention. So what do you want people to think about you when they think about you? So if I were to ask 10 people who know you to describe you using three adjectives, what do you want them to say? Or when you meet somebody for the first time in wherever you're pivoting towards, when you meet them, what do you want to come to mind when they meet you? And your personal style is a great tool to be able to convey that. The second thing I would say is to understand your environment. So what is your work environment going to be, or who are you going to serve in this new work environment? And what are the norms there? So you've been working as a teacher, and there's certainly a teacher's, you know, approach to dressing. And it's a pivot. or switching careers, then there could be a different norm there. So I would consider that. And that's not to say that you need to conform to where what the norms are, but you can, there's a point where you are expressing yourself as fully as possible without feeling like you're compromising, but also you're still able to work within the context and be accessible and fit within the context of the environment that you're working on or working in. And then the final thing that I would ask about are, what do you like? So if you mentioned you're not even sure what your personal style is given the environment that you've been working in, mm-hmm. I would say think about, like, look through some magazines, look online, create a mood board or a personal style vision board that has inspiration of things that you would like that are aligned with those keywords, those adjectives that you want people to think about when they meet you for the first time.
That's Pinterest board is good for that, Charmaine.
Yeah, I think I need to, because people, that's the second or third time someone says something about the Pinterest board. And usually I get lost on Pinterest. That's why I shied away from it. But it's probably the perfect place to go for this. Right. I've heard it like two or three times.
Yes.
Ooh, I really appreciate that. It makes perfect sense, especially when you put it out like that. It really does make perfect sense, but it's going to take time for me to actually think through those steps and work through those steps. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. And did you have another follow-up question, or not even a follow-up question, but your second question?
But the second question, sort of, she mentioned about the message you wanted to convey when she was answering with the three keys, but it was, how do you ensure your personal style is sending the message you want to convey? So if you had anything else to add specific to that.
Well, I would say it really comes down to feedback. So as I was asking you, what are those words that you want people to think about when they meet you for the first time? Or what do you want people to say about you, people who know you, to say about you? I would ask them. And so one thing that I ask my clients to do is to actually ask at least 10 people they know to describe them using three words. You can do this through email. I've posted this on my Facebook page before to see what people would say. And I would get a cross section of people that you've worked with, people, your family members, friends, a good cross section of people who have known you for various periods of time. And even if you have a coworker who just started working with you 2 months ago, it would be interesting to see what they would say about you. So this helps you see what people think about you, even though it's not related to your personal style, or it's not directly related to your personal style. You're not asking them, how would you describe my personal style? But your personal style is a tool to help you communicate who you are and what you're about. So asking this question and understanding how people will describe you is a good indicator of how you're showing up.
Great. Yeah, I'm gonna have to reach out to some people. And that, you know, putting it on Facebook, that's a really good one, because I have a cross section of people on Facebook, family, friends, and former coworkers. And I can tag them in it or send them individual messages there. So that's a good one. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yay.
Okay. Do you have any other questions?
That's all I have that I had written out and thought out. So I really appreciate the opportunity to ask those questions. And now it's time to put those things into action.
Absolutely. One thing I'll just mention, just because Kylie and I touched on LinkedIn, is there any questions that you might have for her about LinkedIn and maybe your presence on LinkedIn?
LinkedIn. I'm actually just getting into LinkedIn. And the thing with LinkedIn is trying to figure out what to highlight, because I know I want to switch out of education. How do you figure out how to take those skills, you know, that you have that are transferable and promote them on LinkedIn as transferable skills?
Right. There's a lot that you can do there, right? There are a lot of things that you can highlight. Now, let me ask you this, where you're looking to pivot or switch, are you looking to start your own business? Are you looking to get into a new industry? What are you thinking?
Ideally, I would like to start something on my own. But, you know, when you listen to feedback to others, everybody says the safe route is to, why not just transition into something else, use the skills you have in another business, because, you know, that's easier. I think my heart is leaning towards, you know, doing something on my own so that it can truly fit my skill set and what I really want to do. So,
if that's the case, then I would think about what are those. I think you're on the right track by thinking about the transferable skills. So thinking about what will be really important for you and what are those activities that will be really important and the value that you will bring in this new business and the new work that you're doing that can leverage what you have learned in teaching. I think teaching is such a great career for that has a lot of transferable skills that may not be completely apparent. So I would rise above or get to the level above the what you were teaching and into how you were teaching it. Because teaching and as a teacher, like you can teach in any realm, right? Like you can be, my mother was a teacher for over 10 years and then transitioned that into corporate training. And so going into the corporate realm, they really loved that she was a fifth grade teacher because she knew how to design a curriculum. She knew how to communicate what the key messages of an idea were and to teach people in a way that they could really understand. And also by working with 10-year-olds, you know, if you can get a 10-year-old to pay attention to you, you can certainly get, you know, a 25-year-old to
sit right. Right.
Those things that may be that may not be one-to-one or may not seem like they would be a strong transferable skill, but would be really advantageous to you in that new career.
Great. I'm gonna work on that list too. See, now I have a whole checklist of things I need to do. Call that adult homework.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Charmaine, for joining us and for popping in and asking some great questions. Kylie, before we let you go, thank you for spending time with us. Thank you for sharing your insight and all your corporate knowledge and experience and all the relocation experience and everything. I just love it all. Thank you so much for joining us as well. And let us know or let everyone know where they can find you, keep up with you, all that good stuff, contact you, everything.
Sure. Well, thank you so much, Ayanna. I love what you're doing here and the platform you've created. And it's just a pleasure to be able to connect with your audience. So people can connect with me online at my personal website is KylieCarr.com. That's where you can also find my podcast, Beyond the Business Suit, which you can also find on Apple Podcasts. I'm Kylie Carr everywhere, and that's spelled KAILEICARR. My business website is groupasbury.com. My company name is The Asbury Group. So Group Asbury, ASBURY.com is where you can find how I work with companies and individuals to help them show up as the best leaders that they can be.
Awesome. Thank you so much, ladies. It has been a pleasure. And as always, you guys, keep killing it.